the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Two. I'll use the handheld. One, two. Went off. Mark chapter 1. And we're going to do verses 40 to 45. Mark chapter 1, 40 to 45. Familiar story concerning Jesus. Now a leper came to him, to Jesus that is, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone. But go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and he began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Amen. Now, in 2014, Jill and myself went to a wedding. It was for Chantel, Joe and Molly's daughter. And we went to, the wedding was abroad, it was in Crete, you know, so we had to be dragged along to go. And we visited, while we were there, the wedding was wonderful, by the way. We had a really, really special time. It was beautiful. And while we were there, we went to an island called Spinalonga. Have you heard of Spinalonga? Yeah, some one or two have, Spinalonga. Okay, so Spinalonga, for 54 years, it was known as the Leper Island. The Leper Island. Because it became a home for exiles. People who had leprosy. And the disease eventually, you know, got hold of them. And it closed in 1957. Actually, the day the church opened, Romford Ealing opened, it opened in the same year. That closed the same year that the church opened over here in Romford. So why was the function there? Why was there a leper island? Well, very simply, it was because of the fear that people had concerning leprosy. It was that kind of a disease which was contagious. It's a kind of a disease that is awful. It eats away at the skin, it eats away at the body, and at its worst, you know, limbs can drop off and all kinds of stuff can happen to a person who is ravaged by leprosy. Anyone with leprosy in the years past was a pariah of society. People didn't want to be around them in case they caught it. And so they became not only ravaged by the disease, which is awful, but they also became isolated. And one of those places of isolation was Spinalonga. And for years and years, they built little communities there. So we went along to the island, and it's just a strange buildings that are there. It's been empty since 1957, a community of people who had tremendous needs lived there. And you could just sort of feel it as you walked around. Some of the houses were quite small, hovels almost. And it was just a very special time as we went there. Historically, we could read of lepers in villages or in towns, wherever that was, and certainly in the Bible, having to shout, "Unclean! Unclean, or ring a bell if they were coming, walking down the street. They had to declare themselves so that people could avoid contact and move out of the way. So they became the untouchables at the end of the day. There's a guy called Robin Reich, and he wrote an article about the human touch. And he made four observations. The first was this. One hug a day keeps the doctor away. One hug a day keeps the doctor away. And the research that he performed showed that regular hugs lower a person's heart rate and blood pressure. Put your hands up if you've got high blood pressure. So after the service, give them plenty of hugs. Yeah? Give them plenty of hugs. So yeah, it lowers heart rate and blood pressure. Hugs make us healthier and happier in general. They strengthen the immune system and decreases stress and reduces anxiety. In short, hugs are good for us. Amen? So Pauline, that could be another form of outreach. Put on your Hug Me t-shirt. Yeah, so one, just one hug a day keeps the doctor away. Secondly, physical contact strengthens group dynamics. Physical contact strengthens group dynamics. A handshake, a high five, a pat on the back sends a nonverbal message of support and cooperation. Now, sorry to mention her name, Hannah. Now, Hannah's really been involved enjoying the Olympics, and particularly volleyball, isn't it? Volleyballs. And she was saying, correct me if I'm wrong, Hannah, but I remember her saying, as a team, there's just a natural sense of it really works to go, well done, high five, and that group dynamic. Am I right, Hannah? Did you say those words? It was, and that's all part of it. In fact, there was a study done for a basketball team. And the results of that was players who touched one another, who gave high fives, who really gave energy to one another in contact, won more games than teams that didn't. Anybody remember the Crazy Gang? It's a long time ago. They were called Wimbledon. And what's his name? Who was their captain? Vinnie Jones. They got the reputation, they were called the Crazy Gang, because they weren't the most skillful players, but they won the league and they won the cup. And they came from the fourth, and they came through fourth, third, second, into the first, and then they won. And then they won the cup. It was an incredible achievement for a team that weren't known for their great skill. But what they did have was team camaraderie. They were hard. They were a hard team. And they went in hard, and they spoiled the play of other teams, and then they took the advantage when they scored. And they were known as the Crazy Gang. And it was this incredible camaraderie. Now, I'm not saying that as a church we should start giving each other, whoa, and high fives, and start, you know, whoa. But it would be nice to have a bit more where we feel that we're really encouraging one another. And a lot of that involves contact. I'm a huggy person, but not everybody, it's not your natural bent, but there is something in it when you feel physically as well as verbally that you're together. Physical contact strengthens group dynamics. Thirdly, physical contact in his research promotes trust and security. Trust and security. Studies show that touch signals safety, trust, and it soothes. How many folks have a cat? Mm-hmm. And, you know, cats, if they like you, they come around your legs and they start that incredible purr. And if you stroke them, tail goes up, And they're just pruning and preening it, and it's just incredible. Touch soothes, he found in his research. And fourthly, people who experience lots of positive physical contact are less violent and aggressive. Research proved that children who do not experience enough loving physical affection are more prone to violence, aggression, once they reach adulthood. The value of touch. Amen? Do you agree with that in some parts, if not all parts? Touch is important. Which brings us back to our reading, Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. So in that reading, a leper comes to Jesus. And he's a man, let's not forget therefore, who's not only afflicted by this awful disease, but is also isolated. He's not someone that people want to be around. Now, how Jesus handles this is very interesting. He touches him. Now, Jesus healed in, when you read in the New Testament, he healed in many, 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 many different ways. And a lot of the ways didn't involve touch. So, Luke chapter 7, verses 1 to 10, the centurion's servant, the centurion who had a servant who was ill, sent some of the Jewish workers to Jesus and said, you know, ask the rabbi if he could heal my servant. And they came because he had a good reputation, the Roman centurion amongst them, which was incredible, as being one who occupied their territory, but he treated them well. And so they went and they pleaded on behalf of the centurion's servant who was ill. And Jesus started to follow them to go to his house. But before they got to the house, he sent out another servant and said, no, you don't have to come to the house. You don't have to come to the house because I'm a man under authority. When I'm told something by my generals, I do it. And you have authority. Just say the word and my servant will be well. And Jesus proclaimed this centurion and said, I've never met such faith even amongst the Jews, his own people. It was a centurion, a Gentile who was saying this. And that's the story behind it. But the thing was, Jesus said, okay, your servant's healed. So he didn't even get to the house. He just proclaimed. And the servant was made well. Touch not involved. He healed from the spoken word, Matthew 9, verses 1 to 8, the paralyzed man. All he said to him was, get up, take up your mat, and go home. Didn't touch him. Picked up his mat, he went home. By command, Mark 1, verse 21 to 26, there was the demon-possessed man in the temple. And Jesus just said, come out of him. And the demon left, and he was put back in his right mind. No touch involved. He healed by giving the person something to do. Luke 17, verses 11 to 14. Ten lepers. And Jesus said to them, show yourself in the temple to the priests in the ritual way that you normally do, that they have a procedure for healing, for being prayed for. Go do it, and you'll be made well. And they all went, and they're all made well. Only one came back and said, thank you, by the way. But again, no touch involved. He healed by using the person's own faith. Mark 10, verses 46 to 52. Blind Bartimaeus. And the way he healed him was, because Bartimaeus came to him and he said, your faith has healed you. And he was made well. By others touching him. Going through the crowd, Mark 5, verse 24 to 29. All this bustling crowd around, and they all wanted a bit of Jesus, this incredible guy. And there was one woman who had an issue of blood for many, many years, and she just, in desperation, she just reached through the crowd and just touched his cloak. She didn't even get a good hold of the arm, just touched his garment. And immediately, he said, who touched me? And his disciples said, What do you mean, who touched you? In the middle of a whole big crowd here, everybody's hustling and jostling. How can you say, who touched me? No, someone touched me because power went. And it was her. And she was instantly healed. Others touched him. He was healed by giving authority to others to heal. So in Luke 10, 1 to 7, we read of him teaching his disciples and then sending them out, the 72, two by two. Go and do what you've seen me do. And they went out and began to preach and to teach and to pray for the sick. And they came back excited because incredible things were happening. It's like Lewis going out on... It's an extension of what began to happen, where God touches someone and they go out, an extension of him, and they do the same thing. That's what discipleship's about. Amen? So, what am I saying? All these different ways that Jesus could have dealt with this individual. But there was something about this guy's emotional makeup that the isolation had brought that Jesus knew and sensed. And he needed to touch him. It was needed as much as the disease itself. Now, if you read the text carefully, there's two aspects to this healing. The first is, it said there, if you remember, as soon as Jesus had spoken, he was healed. So actually, the healing took place through the spoken word. That's how Jesus healed this guy. It was already done through the spoken word. But then it says he touched him. Because there was more work that needed to be done in this person's life than just getting well. They needed healing internally. He needed healing emotionally. All the things that isolation has brought into his life. And therefore, he not only by command healed the physical, but he also touched him. I know at school, in primary school, there was one particular girl, she was from a really rough background. Family, you know, had nothing. It was like a floorboard family in terms of their house, their home. She always suffered from nits and different things. And so the kids around, it was the lurgy game. That's what we called it back in then. You know, if she brushed you by accident, then, ooh, lurgy, lurgy. And you'd touch your shoulder like that. And then it came to Scottish dancing. Guys, we used to do Scottish dancing back in primary school in those days. You don't know what you've missed. Okay? So Scottish dancing... And, you know, you had to go around in a circle and then exchange partners and cross arms and all that kind of stuff. When it came to Yvonne, it was, you know, and then the teacher would say, don't do that. And then, no, come on, you've got to hold hands. But they just wouldn't hold hands. They'd take her by one finger and do it. So incredible. It was awful. It was awful. So those kind of people I get drawn to in that sense. So I made a point of holding a hand. This is when I was young, and maybe it's because, you know, I was only black kid in the school as well, so I had an inkling of what she was going through. But yeah, I always used to make sure I held a hand and danced with her and stuff. We became friends. But I always remember that, the stigma of being isolated, the stigma of being on your own, the stigma of emotionally what that could do to you. Jesus saw it in this leper. And so he not only healed him, spoken word, but he touched him. He touched him. Friends, Jesus ministers to the whole person. Not just a little bit. God wants to touch you, the whole of you. The whole of you. Whether that is sickness or whether that is emotional, spiritual, full of anxieties, whatever it is, he wants to touch and heal the whole person. No wonder the man could not contain himself. Because Jesus said to him, okay, don't tell anybody. I don't know whether he said that as some kind of a joke, but don't tell anybody. Because when you're healed with that kind of disease and it's gone in an instant, you cannot do anything but go, yahoo! Shout it out. You'd be so happy, so elated that you've been transformed, changed. It's only natural that you just go out and say, this is what's happened, this is what's done. And he began to go out and tell everybody, so that everybody then started to come and crowd around Jesus and wanted to know and get a piece of him. There's a song, isn't there, that we used to sing, an old song. He touched me. He touched me. And oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, because at times we can't always explain exactly how God's done it, how he did it. But what we do know is he touched me and made me whole. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody receive the touch of God? Anybody testify to that to say, yeah, I raise my hand because I know I can think when God touched me, he healed me, or he saved me, or he delivered me from a situation, or he opened a way where there was no way, or he healed my mind, my emotions, the state that I was in. He just transformed me, and now my outlook is totally changed. Anybody wave a hand if that's you? Amen. So many folks here that God has touched. And as we gather this morning, I want us to sing that song again. Touch my hands, my mouth, my heart. Fill my life, every part. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. We can pray that right here, but in my heart as well, that's what I'm wanting to happen at Limitless, at the youth camp. The touch of God upon the young people. Godfrey Birtles wrote a song, and he said, just one touch from the King changes everything. And it does. It really does. Changes your outlook, changes whatever's going on within you. One touch. And I'm praying that our young people receive that one touch that will transform their lives. But I'm praying it here as well, this morning here amongst us. And as I sing that, I'm going to ask if you do need a touch, because it might be that you need an embrace. It might be just that you need a hand to hold your hand or a hand on your shoulder. Nothing will be done to embarrass. But you feel, no, I just need a connection. Then do feel free to come forward. I'm going to ask the elders if you'd come forward as well as folks come. I'm going to pray, and if we need more Babs, Jill, feel free to come forward. They'd be delighted to pray with you. Just one touch from the King changes everything. Amen. As we sing this song, you know, if you want to stand, totally up to you. If you just want to sit and bask in the presence of the Lord, that's fine. As we sing this through and we worship, if you need a touch, and a physical touch would help you, then just feel free just to come forward and stand, and someone will come from the leadership and pray with you.
anointing fall on me, anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me, anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing fall. Touch my hands, my mouth and my heart. Fill my life, Lord, every part. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing fall on me. Oh, let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing fall on me. Touch my hands, my mouth and my heart. Fill my Lord, every part. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing fall on me. Oh, let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing fall on me.
Shall we stand?
Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name, Lord and Majesty, divine authority. Hallowed be your name.
Hallowed.
Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name, Lord and Majesty, divine authority. Hallowed be your name, Lord and Majesty. Divine authority, Lord and Majesty, Lord and Majesty. Divine authority, Lord and Majesty, Lord and Majesty. Divine authority, hallowed be your name. reach out to him, anointing, fall on me, anointing, fall on me, let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing, fall.
Justice, would you come as well? And Rita, if there's other folks, it's not too late, folks, please come. Don't miss your touch.
Touch my hands, my mouth and my heart. Fill my life, Lord, every part. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall. Anointing fall on me. He touched me. He touched me. And oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. He touched me. He touched me, and oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now
hallelujah. Don't want anybody to miss their touch this morning. If that's you, just even just where you are, I'm just going to pray right now. Just raise your hand if that's you. There's something there. Jesus, hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for the presence, your presence here, Holy Spirit. And gracious God, you know the touch that each and every one of us needs this morning. Whether it just be something that where you're saying, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant, for what's happened this week. Well done, you stood in the gap. Or whether it be healing in the name of Jesus. Or whether it be emotional, internal, anxiety, things that grip your soul. Just put your hand out, reach out to him. Touch his garment. Father, hear our prayer. We are so thankful and grateful that we can come to the one who hears every cry. We can come to the one who has the power, the authority to break chains. The one, Lord God, who can give an anointing upon a life that changes them from the inside out. Oh God, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we pray. As we go our way, we pray for more divine appointments. Lord, so that we too can be an extension of you to touch other people who need you. This world needs you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we pray that prayer. Touch us, Lord God. Send us out with that anointing that will break yokes, that will set captives free. That we will be the vessels, Lord. We will be the vessels, Lord. Touch my hand, my mouth and my heart. Fill my life, Lord, every part. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Touch my heart. Touch my hand, my mouth and my heart. Fill my life, Lord, every part. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Fall on me, anointing, fall on me. Amen.